Oh my God. I thought the countdown was going to carry on forever, but then it stopped.
I didn't know what to do
because I'm such an idiot that if something doesn't like actually show me a countdown, I don't know what to do with it. So I just sat there going, what's happened? What happened? And Leanne went, I don't know. And we both just looked at each other. Good morning. All right. Are you ready for a big day? We've got a Monday and a whole week of fun ahead of us. Aren't you excited?
There's fun?
Yes, there's always fun, Leanne. Put your microphone in front of you. How long have you been in this business?
Well, firstly, it was on the wrong side. There we go.
There we are. Holy hell in a handbasket.
Just checking What's my up hair. With you?
Yes, check your hair.
Don't check your hair.
And your tits and everything.
Thank you for the close view up. You mustn't see the back, though.
What? What is it? A bit of a rat's nest?
I'll show you.
Oh, my God. That looks unbelievable. All right. Where do we begin? Sure. Busy weekend, huh? Lots happening. Not just a little bit. What am I talking about? Well, America's president kind of resigned from the race, but not from the presidency. So it's okay for him to not run against Donald Trump, but it's perfectly okay for him to still have the nuclear codes.
So, yes, what does it mean?
Well, it means that the Democrats have just shown us exactly what they are. And there's no more bullshitting here.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
That's
Kamala.
That's so inspiring. And I knew you needed that for a minute.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
I sometimes try to make sense of what she's saying.
And unburdened.
Don't you get it? How many times did I repeat it?
What can be unburdened by what has been.
That is the most important thing you could hear this morning from the new Democratic candidate for president, Kamala Harris, who's even less popular than Joe Biden.
Yeah.
But you could see everyone falling in line behind her. You asked, what does it mean?
Mm.
It just shows you that actually the Democrats in America don't give a shit about democracy. These are the people who've been telling you or telling the American people for months now, since January the 6th, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, been saying that was basically a, what did they call it? It wasn't a revolution. What was the word? The insurrection. They called it an insurrection, okay? They said, oh my God. I mean, by the way, by the end of the same day on the 6th of January, the president had been installed, the House and the Senate had opened business. Everything was as normal. Sure, there were a bunch of hicks on the lawns of the Capitol who were being arrested and carted away, and some of them we'll never see again. But there was no coup. There was no violent overthrow of the government, despite people, I don't know, shitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk or whatever. And the Buffalo guy, you know, the Jamiroquai Buffalo helmet
yes.
guy. Like, that was a big show. But nothing else happened. That was it. In fact, the only person who died on that day was one of the protesters.
Mm.
So these are the people who've kept telling you for months, for years, that that was a violent insurrection and that they are the defenders of democracy. And that Donald Trump is the greatest threat ever to democracy. And you know what they think of democracy? You know how you can tell? Because everybody who took part in the Democratic primaries, which were a whitewash anyway, because they didn't run anyone against Joe Biden, but some 14 million registered Democrats have just been completely ignored because the candidate has stepped away and handed it over to Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to try something else, but I think Jill Biden got in the way and really thwarted their plans. They were going to try and have an open Democratic National Convention, DNC, on the 9th of August. And they were going to try and find someone who was more suitable, who would have got more votes than Kamala, maybe, like Gavin Newsom or Big Mike, or one of those people, right? Hasn't happened because someone in the White House, either, you know, Joe's closest advisor, Hunter Biden, the crackhead,
yeah.
or his power-crazed, maniacal wife who claims to be a doctor, Jill, grabbed his phone and tweeted that he fully endorses Kamala. And now they're in a bit of a quandary. They can't really back out of that.
Mm.
So they're just, all it shows you is that these are the people who don't care about democracy. These are the people who just will do anything for power.
Yeah.
Anything. They will tell you that there's an old man that's perfectly okay to run things. And then just a couple of days later, they'll tell you, oh, well, we can't run him anymore. He's clearly deranged. He's just totally senile.
Did they actually say something?
Oh, what? Who? Who? Who are you talking
about?
They all fall in line. Don't you worry. Barack Obama goes on X yesterday. He's like, I just want to say that Joe is a great guy. And what he's done is a very potent, powerful move from a man who cares about America. It took a month of pressure.
He doesn't even know.
He doesn't know. Joe doesn't know whether he's a teapot or a hockey stick. What a joke. Anyway, in case you were wondering what Joe Biden's actual announcement looked like, I have a clip of it.
Yeah.
Do we have that clip of Joe actually resigning that I sent you this morning? Very big breaking news. Take a look at this. This is what he actually said. Okay, so no one can put words in his mouth.
My fellow Americans, I want to take a moment to address some of the hateful shit you've been talking about me. Many of you have said I am suffering from brain worms or that I have applesauce for brains. Well, I won't mince words. Here it is. Fuck you. You're all a bunch of faggots. End of quote. Repeat the line. So enjoy President Cackles or President Booty Juice. I really don't give two fucks anymore. Biden out.
That's what he said. That's what he Booty really juice? Said. Yeah. At least he said something more interesting and inspiring than
what can be unburdened by what has been.
Oh, please.
Doesn't it give you chills when I say that? Well, this came up on the internet shortly afterwards. You know, now you got a whole lot of like white women all over America going, who's with Kamala? And one of them tweeted it out. This was the response. Take a look. Who's with Kamala? It's that that still picture I sent you just now. I screenshotted this. I thought, yeah, that's probably about right. It's how most people are feeling. No one's with Kamala. I see a bunch of people who these are all white women with an abundance of compassion and no fucking brains between their ears. All going, oh my God, we've got to rally behind the woman of color. Or as Constantine Kissin said in, here it is, Kamala for president, who's with me? Look at Dr. Jebra. I mean, whose fucking name is Jebra? Okay. And then Renda rightly says, nobody, lol. Nobody's with Kamala. I mean, it's all white Western women who are so guilt-riddled by the fact that they have the easiest lives in all of human history. And now what they're going to do is they're going to rally behind what Constant Kissin called a vagina of color, a VOC.
Oh, my Lord.
So good luck, guys. I saw President Zelensky's been phoning in an absolute flat panic because he's like worried that his money isn't going to come through. How's he going to fight the Russians? Because, you know, now that there's a change, maybe Kamala's not so keen.
On like, who knows, full-blown right? war.
We know the American public aren't so keen. So check, here's Biden's phone just last night, a screenshot of that. President Zelensky, my money's still coming, right? President Zelensky, 1:25 in the morning, I'm scared. 1:13 in the morning, please answer. And then 52 missed calls at 2:47. Beautiful. This is the country that's supposed to lead the world, everybody. Good heavens.
Well, entertaining, is it not?
Isn't it great to live in South Africa by comparison?
Yeah, well.
I just want to say, I think we're in a good place.
That's the thing. In the land of the blind.
Just in case you want to feel a little more inspired, because I'm not going to say it again, what can be.
Oh, no. Something else.
But here's another brilliant quote from the woman who is now the leading candidate for the Democratic Party in the United States of America. Vice President Kamala Harris, soon to be presidential candidate Kamala Harris. Here she is talking about the significance of the passage of time. And if after watching this clip, you haven't convinced yourself that this is one of the most stupid ignoramuses ever to occupy public office, then I don't think you have a brain either. Take a look.
And talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
I think that just stopped. We weren't meant to stop.
I'm glad somebody stopped.
I think
her.
She just froze, but she carries on for like a good 2 minutes. What happened? Was it my fault, your fault? It just froze. How embarrassing. But we're still okay.
Somebody stopped her.
I think it's Kamala Harris's office. They're like, we've got to scrub the internet of every fucking thing that this idiot's ever said.
This one's going live. Scrub it now.
So that was a lot to get into last night.
Yeah.
Right. And that was just last night, because there was lots of other good stuff over the weekend. Plenty of sport, which we'll get to in a short while. And South Africa and the Portuguese played in Bloemfontein. Yes.
Did you see Chega's 60-60s campaign for that?
No, I didn't.
Jeez, they're on the ball.
What did they do? That's clever.
They did like a whole Bloemfontein takeover.
Oh, yeah.
And just had loads of these delivery guys come up in support. And they were even driving in formation or riding in formation.
Oh, wow. Bloemfontein.
Yeah. They had taken over all of the posters and...
It must have been very exciting for Bloemfontein.
Oh, yeah.
Really fuck all happens there.
We remember when we used to DJ in Bloemfontein. Wow. It was an exciting time.
Listen, I love Bloem. I've never had a shit time there. I've got to be honest. People are fucking fantastic. They're fun. They're friendly. Mm. But yeah, nothing happens there. It's not your fault. It's just that you're in the middle of nowhere. It's like a truck stop, really. It is. I mean, you can be cross, but it's a truck stop. It's like, there's nothing. I mean, this rugby was a big thing. Right. Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy for you that you had something happen there finally. I mean, no one cares about the Cheetahs games. They happen every weekend, don't they? The Cheetahs.
Who knows?
Second one, they're away anyway. So... what do? You go up to the Naval Hill where there's the Mandela statue. You've done that once.
You also get to survive every winter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Like I made it through.
Right. Exactly. Hey, I found something very cool for Leanne on Temu.
Oh, you did?
Because, I'm addicted to this now.
And Temu's, just brilliant.
I think it's fantastic.
You get exactly what you ordered.
You're getting cheap and... cool things.
And things that surprise you.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm really impressed. And also, like, I've bought every birthday present for everyone. And it's only July. You know how good that is?
Are you really enjoying the service?
Oh, hell yes.
Are you getting what you ordered?
Yes. Exactly. There hasn't been one fuck up.
Okay. Interesting.
Not one. So I would stand by them. But this is the cool thing. I found something for you. They're making, what do they call these things? These cucumbers? I love the way they disguise a sex toy, right? Oh. They're saying fantasy-themed crystal glass cucumber model, perfect for home and kitchen decor. And they basically then got two glass.
Silicone.
They're glass.
Oh, they're glass.
Yeah. And they give the exact measurements in inches and centimeters, so you know just how big they are, right?
That's 20. That's
20 centimeters is quite significant. It's got a handle on the end. I mean...
but glass.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, that's a thing, right?
Okay, and one's knobbly and one's
ripped
a little
for
bit
your
ridged.
Pleasure. And yeah, but I mean, what are these for? You really think someone wants that to decorate their kitchen? Leanne, where would you put that as a decoration?
Well, I know where I'd put it.
So, I mean, well done to them. At least they're appealing to the...
Five stars, huh?
Yeah.
4.8.
It's been rated. Been rated 5 stars.
I mean, since when do you rate a glass cucumber 5 stars if it's for decor for your kitchen? That's if people are coming in and going, my word, where did you get that beautiful cucumber? They're not doing that. It's people who've used them who are rating it.
Yes, as decorations. What are you talking about?
Well, goodness me. So are you going to buy them?
No. No, I have no use for such a thing. At all.
Send me the URL, please. Okay.
Leanne wants the URL. Steve says the bottom one has more girth. I don't know. Hey?
I don't know. That top one looks top, scary.
Yeah,
to be honest, if I was being really honest,
Jesus.
I'd probably start with the bottom one on the small end.
What are we going to do? Like, this hectic.
It's a decoration, says Francois Retief.
Yeah, and Raven says never run out of cucumber.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what you're buying that for. Absolutely. Do you like the knobbly one or the smooth one, Leanne, says Bitcoin Boots.
Like I said, let's start smooth and small, work our way up.
All right. While we're talking about pussy,
yes.
Here is a great video from the RNC, the Republican National Convention, the other day, because I know nobody can start their day without a little bit of Donald Trump, but don't worry, it's not him talking. It is interesting that the worst thing he's ever done, this is the worst thing I have ever done, was when he said he was going to grab someone by the pussy.
Yes, I remember that.
That was like a How dare he be so
vulgar,
and disrespectful to women and all this stuff. He's like, if you're famous and you're rich, they'll let you grab him by the pussy. That was what he said. And he was right. And in this video, clearly his machismo, his studliness is being advanced so far ahead of him now, even though he's a 78-year-old man.
Mm.
Clearly, Donald Trump is so irresistible that now the pussies are grabbing themselves.
Oh, yes?
Oh, yeah. Watch this video. You'll see. Look at the woman behind Trump. Take a look. Here we go. There it is.
Oh, come on.
Look at that. Look. No doubt. It's plain to see, Leanne.
I don't know.
What do you think that is?
Maybe she's a wardrobe adjustment.
Oh, come on. She's grabbing herself by the pussy. Come on. What do you think this is? Look at that.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if her dress was so long she had to lift it off the floor or something like that.
Come on.
Now, do you think he's arranged for that to happen?
No, there's so much of it going on around him, he can't even see all of it anymore. He's incapable. There's so much available.
Him and his mushroom penis.
Oh, yeah, please. Sure. The guy's doing well. He's doing better than you and me. He survived an assassination. Give him some respect. What's wrong with you? All right. That is a true Trump supporter, says Bitcoin Butt. Azalea says she's tucking. Well, that's one way to say it.
Well, there you go.
Surviving Life says, Gareth, why are you dick riding Donald Trump so much? Oh, please. Are you a Democrat who's trying to make something funny into something serious? Well, give this person a moment to find something else to watch and listen to. Hang on. Give him a minute. Go. Right. Thanks. Right. Out of there.
Next.
Back to the fun. You see, I mean, it's just there's so much to choose. I didn't even know where to start this weekend. I don't know if you were even aware of this last week, but I only caught up with it because I didn't know. I don't watch the news as much as most people do, or I don't have to watch the news as much as most people do because it's boring as hell. If you watch the news, like TV news, it's so boring. No, anyway,
I mean, even just flicking through news apps that I have, it's awful.
Oh, so depressing. Anyway, I did see the story about IOL. You heard about this?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so these idiots at South Africa's one of the biggest newspaper groups in the country. How the mighty have fallen, by the way. Like the media. These are people we used to trust, okay? We used to trust these publications to give us accurate, useful information so we could navigate the world and make our lives as frictionless as possible, or at least have something to talk about when you got to work. Well, what a joke that was, because IOL, one of the biggest newspaper groups in the country, it's now owned by the odious Iqbal Serve. These morons went after someone who they thought was Ghulam on X. Ghulam is this account. I follow it. You should follow it. It's really interesting. Very anti-Zuma, but I mean, an interesting point of view, right?
Mm.
And it doesn't matter who the person is because they clearly have inside info and they're paying attention. So they get all the stories that are embarrassing for MK and for the Zoomers. And then they publish them on this Ghulam X account.
Mm.
I don't care who it is. It could be Leanne Mole for all we know.
Could be an insider.
It could be a mole.
A mole.
Exactly my point. The fact is, it's not important who the actual person is. But clearly to the guys at IOL, who are in Zuma's camp, it's now patently obvious to see, it's really important that they out this person for being, you know, Ghulam, whoever they are. So they went around the country three times. It's like St. Peter thrice denying Christ. Three times they fucked this up. And one of the occasions was when they went after a comedian and an academic in KZN.
Yes.
And I don't know who this is, but I feel very sorry for this person. Anyway, IOL have had to offer a massive public apology as a result of this. And it turns out they're going to be sued as well.
Oh, wow.
For a couple of million, which is good. And they should be sued. And I hope that it comes directly out of Iqbal Serve's pocket because he's no doubt behind this. But look at these two. I don't know who they are. But if these people worked in my building, I would shit myself. These are scary looking people. Watch this video. This is their official apology. Both of them look terrifying. I mean, it's almost like they're comic book villains. And if you can't see this, you need to be watching us live on YouTube. You need to like and subscribe and get in there for the notifications, because I tell you what, you miss out on stuff like this, you are missing out. I didn't even know about this until the weekend, and man, am I happy I saw this clip. Like, I didn't think people like this existed except in, like, Marvel movies.
Wow.
And they've got this weird background of, like, New York City, but they're not in New York City.
Ooh, so sort of very villainous.
Yeah, it makes it even more villainous. Just take a look.
Initially, our investigations identified two individuals linked to the Ghulam MV Twitter account, both named Mohammed Vauda. However, during the press conference, a technical error occurred in that the wrong profile was shared with our content teams and the public. This error resulted in the incorrect identification of a UKZN lecturer and comedian being identified as the person behind the account. For this error, we unreservedly apologize to Mohammed Yaqub Vauda, who was mistakenly identified. As Chief Executive Officer of the IOL platform, I will be taking concrete steps to ensure that such an oversight does not occur again. Both independent media and IOL deeply regret the error.
Who are those people?
Wow.
First of all, his head is much too small for his body. He's he's like a blue tick. You know those blue ticks that you find on a dog's ass? Mm. And the head is a little head, and then the little arms, and this huge big body. His head is too small for his body.
So that was the first thing you pointed out.
First thing. Yeah. And then she's sitting there. I don't know who she is. Like evil, like Cruella de Vil vampire. Who knows? But she's sitting there going...
But these are people in the media, right? It doesn't matter whether you're print, online, digital.
So bad.
Surely you know someone who's going to give you better lighting.
Tracy says when you order Deborah Pata from Temu.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, look at her. Look at those people. I'm sorry. That is absolutely frightening. Frightening.
I mean, this is going to be something that's watched by a lot of people. Surely just better lighting and studio vibes.
And don't tell me it was a technical error. Like, you guys are wrong on substance and on content and on presentation, okay? Like, your presentation is absolutely horrific. You're meant to be a media organization. I am so embarrassed for you. And second of all, the content. How can you say it's a technical error? You finger pointed at someone who was not involved in something and basically put their life at risk. I mean, you know how crazy some MK supporters are?
Mm.
And this person lives in KZN.
Yeah.
And you've basically now made their life a living hell. They should sue you for everything you've got. Everything. That woman sounds like her name could be Griselda, says that mean.
Maybe.
Maybe that's Griselda Zelda. We never did see what she looked like.
Never saw her.
That's true. And she doesn't say anything. Dud says it's Klaus Schwab's wife. I don't know about that, but that's also a good guess.
But let's just get back to the technical error.
Yes.
So in other words,
yes,
somebody must have typed out the story and blamed someone and typed out his name.
Yes.
Or copy and pasted.
Yeah.
And then where was the error? Like, did they send it or
mistake? No. They never explained, because you can't ask questions. They just sent out this clip. And if you were able to ask questions, that would be the first question a real journalist like you might ask.
My goodness.
Yeah. The quality, let me tell you, the quality of our media, it's so bad. It is so bad that you would be better off believing your pet spaniel than the likes of IOL. Yeah. And I'm being kind.
And, you know, we do have to subscribe to these news platforms now.
Oh, here we go. Sharon's found their details, because, of course, Sharon's an investigative journalist.
Oh, there you go.
The editor-in-chief of independent media is Audrey Sienekaldevet. That's the woman. And the CEO is a guy called Vyasan Subramuni. Very good. That woman looks like she's on New Ope.
Oh, my goodness.
Oaks. Yes. I mean, shame. I mean, you know what? To go after someone because the way they look is a really low blow.
But of course.
It's all the whole thing, the presentation, the whole thing is just weird.
For someone in media. I mean, do you believe those people?
No, I would not believe those people if I had to buy a secondhand car and they were the only secondhand car salespeople left on the planet. And it was the only car. I don't know what I would do. I'd have to get a bicycle. But or you know, a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine. I would not buy anything from them. I wouldn't buy something I could see and check and touch and feel and smell in the box from them.
Now, you see, they needed someone honest like you on their team because that video was then watched.
I wouldn't work for their team
afterwards.
I wouldn't work for their team. Are you joking?
And no one said anything because they're the big boss. They're not going to say, just wanted to point
terrible.
Out yeah, that this looks like, a bit dodgy.
Guys, really, we need to redo this. Brew. Brew.
Yeah, come now, Brew.
Brew. It's very bad, eh? I want to know what she sounds like. She could be Griselda Zelda. She could. Just saying.
We'll have to do some digging.
All right. So let's look. I mean, don't tell me this country isn't interesting and there isn't new stuff every week. It's so great. It's just so great. What can be unburdened by what has been? Mm-mm. James, come and do the sport for us. We need to know what's happening. People want to know. People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. Listen, Nixon looks saintly compared to what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. He looks like a saint. People, if they had any historical context at all, like Richard Nixon was one of the smartest people that ever occupied the White House. You want to look up all his interviews on Iran. You will be blown away by how well-informed that man was. He opened up China to the rest of the world. He was a genius compared to the morons we've got running at the moment. It's unbelievable. Like everywhere around us, it's just terrible, terrible people doing
unbelievable
people doing terrible things, Leanne. Terrible. At least you managed to find those cucumbers on Temu.
Yeah, those have made my week.
Absolutely. All right, so here he is, producer James. He's got a little look in on what happened over the weekend when it came to sport. And we've got Dr. Hanan joining us in a short while too, which is always my highlight of a Monday morning because we get to check in that we're not completely crazy. Don't you think?
We need calibration.
We need to be recalibrated every Monday morning. That's the secret reason we do this. And we know you need it too, so don't get all smug with me. I look into the comments section. All I see is mental illness.
That's great.
Right. It's true, right? What, you going to laugh this off? Or are you just not going to look for trouble with the comments section?
I'm not going to say it's true. I just think it's a crazy thing to say.
You know what? Crazy is what we have in abundance. And that's why we need a psychologist in every week. Okay. James, yes. We have so much to do when it comes to sport. Let's start with the rugby, if you don't mind.
We shall start with the rugby. The Springboks went to Bloemfontein, like you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Sure, 64-21 was the final score there.
Ben was right.
Yes.
Give Ben credit. Right.
Yeah. Right.
When Is Ben hearing... ever wrong?
No, he has been wrong once or twice, but that happens with even the best. Ben got it right, and if you had listened to him and you'd placed some bets accordingly, you would have won with super bets, right? And that's the whole reason we do this thing on the Monday. It's like Monday's a big where session where we go, if you'd put money down where you would have won, but where you didn't.
He also won our clip trip. That's gold pool.
I know that sounds like a little bit of unfair advantage he has.
Well, he did have a burner phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had two accounts.
I heard about that.
Two different accounts.
Yeah. Sunday, they actually outed him with that. So
he does never prosper. That's what they say.
Well, I don't know. Ben's doing quite well right now. Okay.
The Bucks beat Portugal 64-21. Australia also took on Georgia this past weekend. They beat them 40-29. Mm-hmm. And then the All Blacks, the New Zealanders, they took on Fiji. They won that game 47-5.
James, you didn't shave this morning. You didn't brush your hair.
I know.
You're wearing a hoodie. What are you? Are you trying to be a homeless person? What's going on here?
I tried to make an effort this morning.
Jesus,
but it's also Monday.
Ask, next time, Flex, will you come do the sport? Because you look more presentable than James. I mean, your parents could be watching now. You know how embarrassed they would be.
They generally do, and they probably are.
How can they let you? They taught you to leave. I'm sure you have lovely parents.
I do.
How could they be pleased to see you turn up here like a homeless man on a Monday morning? What, did you have a drunk weekend?
No, I try to put an effort. Too much
methylated spirits. What's the problem here? Huh? What happened?
Just a Monday that didn't get enough effort. That's all.
Yes, sis, James.
At least I wasn't late. Is that
slim pickings? Is what you're going on here. At least I wasn't late. Yo,
I think that's what I said to my mum when she busted me smoking.
At least I wasn't late.
No, I said, at least it's not heroin.
Oh, God. Okay, carry on. Let's get on to the sport. Come, we have things to do.
In the world of Formula One, there was also a Grand Prix this weekend in Hungary.
Yes, Oscar, how did that go?
Oscar Piastri won that one with Lando Norris, his teammate, in second.
Who's that? I've never heard of this guy.
He races for McLaren. He's quite a young driver. He's Lando Norris's teammate.
Okay.
Lando Norris, who came second, and then fellow Brit Lewis Hamilton, who came third for his 200th career podium, which is quite impressive.
That is good. Very good.
Max still at the top of the standings for the F1 by quite a bit, 265 points for him there, with Lando Norris in second with 189. So quite a gap still, quite a season still.
Wouldn't be feasible for anyone to think they could catch up, right?
Very, very slim chance. Very, very slim. It's possible mathematically, but very slim.
Okay.
This weekend, there was also the closing stage of the Tour de France. Tadej Pogacar won that one. It was his second major this year. He also won the Tour de France as well as the Giro d'Italia earlier this year. He's like, how can I put this? I was watching it yesterday. He's like what seems to be the Messi of the cycling world.
That's why I've never heard of him.
He's like a generational talent.
I've been following this year's Tour de France.
Sure, but I mean, you're definitely exception to the rule. I mean, who in the whole universe gives a shit about cycling? But, okay, you're saying he's like the Messi of cycling? Yeah.
He's nailing all the titles for the first time in a long time. Was that a cucumber?
From Temu. The best guy in cycling. That's like winning the retarded games. Come on.
You got to give it to them. Some of these guys do like 200-300 kilometers a day on a bike.
Yes, but we live in an age of...
Gareth, you don't know it. You don't know.
I'm not going to... You know I hate cycling. Just leave it alone. It's a stupid sport. It's not a sport. It's a hobby. It's a hobby. Fat people do it.
Really?
Okay, well...
You've seen cyclists.
Yes, I have. And there are some fat ones.
Professional cyclists.
Yes.
Okay, so the Slovenian took the Tour de France. Let's move on from the cycling because soft point, I see. Jeez. Okay, before we get to the Olympics.
Yes, that starts this week.
It does start this week. I just wanted to touch on the golf real quickly before I get to something. For Xander Schauffele.
Schauffele. Yeah. I saw the end of this yesterday and I thought, ugh, what a horrible looking course. Because it is. It's ugly as sin. Okay, so I know Ben is going to come in here on Friday. He goes, oh, you don't understand. He explained to me what a Lynx course is.
I don't even know what that is.
You didn't listen on Friday.
L-Y-N-X.
No, L-I-N-K-S. So it's between the sea and farmland. So it links the sea to the farmland. And it's horrible. It's like tundra. It's arid. It's sandy. They call it gorse in Scotland. There's all this spiky, hairy, nasty-looking grass that comes out of the sand, and it traps the balls. And there's some horrible bunkers on that course, by the way. So I watched it, and I thought, it's called the Open Championship. It's one of the most prestigious things, Royal Troon in Scotland, right? I watched this, and there are all these miserable people in like tin jackets. It's meant to be summer in Scotland, which...
That doesn't exist.
I mean, that's like winter in the Free State for us, okay? And it's horrible. They're all weather-beaten, rosy-faced, thistle-arsed, just angry Scots going, oh, I think he was close to the hole. And then you've got all these poor golfers who are also like, can we just win and get the hell out of here? And then this guy, Schauffele, who's not Scheffler. I realize those are two different people.
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler, person,
he's one. And then there's this
Schauffele guy.
Schauffele, dude. And they're two different people. But I mean, how similar could those surnames possibly be in the same sport? Mm. Anyway, you have never seen a course so miserable looking in your life. Not a tree, just absolute flat, windy, barren. You know, the kind of things that you imagine a very sparse, very mean Scottish upbringing. You know, here's your present from your mother.
It's a thistle.
A thistle and a block of cheese from last year that we didn't finish that she found in the basement. The place we go to hide from the wind. Terrible. But well done to Schaffler, Schaffler, whatever.
Zonda Schaffler.
Good.
Him.
American.
I think so.
Yes.
I'm not super into golf. I really don't know much
about it. Yeah, that's why I'm doing the sport this morning. So what did you want to say about the Olympics?
So because it is around the corner, I've gotten a list together of not athletes to watch per se, but just potential shining stars for South Africa at this year's Olympics. So firstly on the list, the biggest name, obviously, is Akani Simbini. He's 30 yeah. years old. So he's actually gotten into more of a later era of his career.
Yes.
So there's a lot of hope that he'll pick up his first gold medal at this year's Olympics. We've also got Tatiana Smith, who was Tatiana Schoenmaker. She did all the swimming things last year, tipped to do it again.
Uh-huh.
All the golds. Chad Leclos, obvious reasons. He's also 32 now, so that brings him a lot more experience and doing this for quite a few more years. He's also won a combined total of 4 medals at the Olympics, so hopefully some more for him. Then someone who's tipped on the global stage to actually shock the world is Prudence Sekodiso. She does middle distance running. She's considered a phenomenon. I don't know what makes her that.
Yeah.
But she is definitely someone to watch. Well,
don't say it then if you're not sure. Don't say it, because otherwise now you see you're doing an IOL here on us, because you can't back it up. And I won't have you saying things you can't back up, James.
That's fair.
V-Rus
you have to apologize. I'll be the person next to you.
V-Rus says, James looks like he lives in his car.
It's a bad Monday.
Sure.
Really a bad Monday.
All right. Is that all?
Two more. Wade van Niekerk, for obvious reasons, also. Okay, so
he's back, even though he had that injury a couple of years ago. And,
he did. Okay. And then Matthew Saits, who is just a 20-year-old swimmer, and he actually competed at his first Olympics back in 2020 when he was 18 years of age. So
okay.
That's pretty
well,
impressive.
You know, one place we usually shine is in the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's true. I'm happy to take that. Let's hope that delivers some goods.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
very nice.
Paris 2024.
So that kicks off this week. So they'll have an opening ceremony.
Yeah, they will.
Okay.
Everyone will be there.
The French
flags.
The French that cannot get a government together. We're expecting them to now put an opening ceremony together.
Did you see their president? He went for a swim in the river that's covered with
The mayor of Paris.
That one. Yeah.
The mayor of Paris went for a swim in the Seine.
That's the one.
And now he has bilharzia.
Bilharzia.
I'm kidding about the bilharzia, but he probably could. I mean, worms or something. The Seine River, I mean, really, you got to be brave as hell to swim in that. But he did. Big publicity stunt. And now the man's in hospital.
Oof.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
I think he probably should be.
Spoke to the fire.
He's in the bilharzia unit.
What do we call bilharzia? You get that from, yeah.
Yes. No, it's just a friend of mine's mom used to say, don't go in the river, you'll get bilharzia.
Right. Okay, so someone says, don't be so mean about cycling, great legs, and everybody looks fit pence in cycling clothing.
It really is an entertaining sport, Gareth. I know you couldn't care less, but it actually really is.
You're not going to convince him. Don't open the argument again.
Okay, I shouldn't.
Don't.
Okay.
Do you want to go work for IOL?
No, I'm good.
All right.
There are going to be a few openings, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you very much, James.
Cool. Thanks
very good. Sure. That is a little bit of sport for you, which is brought to you by Superbets, our chance to catch up on all the weekend's activities. And there was plenty to talk about this weekend. Ben said it was going to be a boring weekend in sport, but it turns out it wasn't. I even watched a bit of golf. Who would have guessed?
Who knew?
Huh?
Wow.
Well, I just wanted to see what this Lynx thing was all about.
Yeah.
So you drop a seed anywhere near me, I want to see it grow. I want to learn more.
But this one didn't.
Nothing grows in Scotland. Nothing. You know what grows in Scotland? Misery. Misery. That's all. Anyway, that was your Beyond the Scoreboard weekend sports recap with Superbets. And of course, if you are going to place bets there, remember that they support responsible gambling, strictly no under 18s, winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800-006-008. Da, 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 da. Are you interested in the Olympics?
Yes.
You are?
I don't particularly know names and things, but it's just one of those things that's really
like
great. You can turn on your teller at any time. you can look at TikTok. Have you seen what the Paralympics TikTok account has been doing?
No, it's great. Simpiwe showed us on Friday.
Yeah, it's really brilliant.
No shame and lots of not taking themselves seriously. Yeah, I like that.
Really good. But yeah, I just like that there's something different every time. We don't get to see this stuff every year. That's why it's the Olympics. And then, you know, we just have some South Africans who shine through, which is always exciting.
I always like it because these are people who, you know, whether it's high jump or hurdles or, you know, throwing the shot put. What is it? Putting the shot, actually. Mm. That kind of shit. I mean, like someone spent years getting that right and doing it as well as it's possibly able for a human being to do it.
And they made up all the rules.
They break records. And it's just, I think it's awesome. I love the Olympics. You get to see really brilliant people doing really brilliant things that aren't necessarily useful anywhere outside of the Olympics, sure, but they're still cool.
And there's always, you know, the excitement of the athletes arriving at the Olympic Village, looking at their accommodation. Last time, remember, they had cardboard beds.
Well, I've got that again.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because they don't want them to have sex. No, really.
It is.
That's what they're doing. Unbelievable. By the way, after 7 o'clock this morning, we will have Anthea Gardner coming in. That's
lovely.
Right. She works hard for the money. Your money. So if you want to know what's going on in the world of the economy at large, your own personal finances, the stock markets, I mean, this is where Anthea is fantastic and she shoots the lights out. She's fantastic at all of it. She'll be joining us in a short while. Of course, her company, Cartesian Capital, turned 10 just a couple of days ago. So we're going to find out all about what's been happening with Anthea. She'll be spending a bit of time with us too. And if you've got questions, you could send those in and maybe, just maybe, she'll be able to answer them for you. We try to be helpful. That's what we do. Shall we go to Dr. Hanan? Let's do it. Let's talk to our resident shrink this morning. It's going to be okay with Dr. Hanan Bushkin. He, of course, is the renowned psychologist and the head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And this story came to us from the show a few weeks ago. There was a man who was caught cheating on his wife, and he's suing Apple. I don't know if you remember that story. He was caught because his wife discovered text messages to sex workers on his Apple devices, which he thought he had deleted. How embarrassing. But this morning, our question for Dr. Hanan is a simple one, but it's one that I don't know we've ever really figured out, is why do people cheat? So here he is. Dr. Hanan, how's it?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. We were talking earlier about how we all are, you know, in desperate need. We didn't have you last week, and look at us. We're a disaster. So when we don't have you on the show on a Monday, we just all spin out and behave very badly. James has been sleeping in his car. I mean, it's just a mess. So, you know what? We're glad you're back. And this is a good question. I don't know the answer. Maybe you can help us. Why do people cheat, Doc?
Yeah. So let's unpack this a little bit. Every relationship that you will ever have with anybody is based on specific rule sets. The reason why relationships work is because there's an unspoken or spoken rule set, what I'm allowed to do and what my reason for being in the relationship is and what you're allowed to do and what your reasons are to be in this relationship for. So when it comes to a romantic relationship, and there are many different types of relationship, let's call it a companionship or romantic relationship, committed romantic relationship, there are certain rules of engagement. I'm allowed to do X, I'm not allowed to do Y, you're allowed to do X, you're not allowed to do Y. And cheating is regarded as when the rules are being broken. So the question is, why do people break the rules? Well, there's only really one major reason. If you Google it, you'll see there's 100 reasons. There are 100 reasons why people cheat, from low self-esteem to ego to mental illness to compulsiveness or impulsiveness. There are many reasons, but really there's really one reason why people cheat. And the main reason why people cheat is because they value the alternative more than they value the relationship. Because if the relationship, if the game was worth staying true to the rules for, well, then people would stay true to the rules, to the game, for the game, because the game is valuable. But the moment the game, the relationship becomes, well, immaterial or not as valuable as the alternative, that's when people step out. And they're really, like, I can break it down into further two reasons of why people do that. One, long-term reasons. In other words, I don't see the potential in this relationship, and hence I need to start investing in other relationships so I can jump out. Or impulsive reasons, emotional reasons. Well, I have an opportunity to cheat. I have an opportunity to break the rules. I'm not really going to be found out. The cost versus the value. The thought process outweighs the value, outweighs the cost. So the question is, should you do it? Well, of course you should never break the rules because you break the trust, unless you're aiming to jump out of the relationship. You should communicate with your partner why you're doing so, and then you can jump out. But you should never break the rules. But what's important that I want to mention is that, as we've always said on the show, don't trust your feelings. You should never jump out of a relationship, break the rules, because your feelings tell you to do so. If you want to get out of a relationship, you do it strategically, but you don't do it because your emotions tell you so. You do it because there are reasons and values to jumping out of the relationship.
All right, but that doesn't help the feelings, because what you're saying is that if somebody does decide to cheat, they're basically saying that someone else is more valuable than you are. So that's bound to have massive repercussions, even for the most stoic of people. Let's just imagine that, you know, I'm in a relationship. I have kids with someone. She cheats on me. I'm just going to feel worthless. And that wouldn't be my feelings leading me astray. That practically seems to be the truth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we can talk about the feelings of the person that broke the rules versus the partner in a relationship who the rules have been broken in the relationship from. So if my wife cheats on me, my feelings, and certainly we can talk about her feelings. So as I said, the reason why she would cheat or my partner would cheat is because there's more value in the alternative. The way I deal with my feelings of cheating, that's very different, because it's very difficult to be stoic in the moment when the line is in the room or when the rules have been broken. One common theme for all human beings is that we absolutely hate and despise and work against injustice. One thing that you'll hear kids say all the time from 3 years old onwards is, this is not fair. Kids hate, human beings hate injustice. Mm-hmm. So whenever I get into a relationship and the rules are quite clear and the rules have been broken, even though they were quite clear, I feel a sense of injustice, and naturally feelings are going to come up. Feelings of resentment, hurt, frustration, disappointment. So yes, it's very difficult to be stoic in that moment, but you still have to be strategic and not follow your feelings, because if you followed your feelings in that moment, we'd all want to get our own back, or get justice right back.
Revenge.
And you might do it in unhealthy ways.
Yeah, that's very, very true. The thing that I want to know is, because just looking at sort of monogamous relationships, and when these become, let's bring another partner in, whether it's just sexual or, you know, I don't mind if you do X over weekends. When can you start changing the rules? You know, some people get married and after a year, someone wants to start changing the rules. It's through no fault of their own. They've just naturally decided that that's the way they want to go.
By the way, there's absolutely nothing, Leanne, of wanting to change a rule. That's a completely human nature. You know, we play Monopoly and we realize that the game isn't working for us, so we either change the rules of the game, so I'm allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that, or we start playing a different game, and that's completely appropriate. But what you shouldn't do is change your rules unilaterally just because you feel like it, without letting your partner know, because again, that breeds contempt and breeds distrust in the relationship. So how soon can you start changing the rules in the relationship? Immediately. Immediately. You can get married and literally a week later turn to your partner and say, can we do things differently? How do you feel about X? How do you feel about Y? It's all a negotiation and a matter of communication, to where both partners agree to the new rule set or the new rules to be implemented down the line. So you can change it from the get-go.
I mean, Selby says in the comments here, when you meet a really beautiful person who's more beautiful and nicer than the person you've got. I mean, that may be the motivation. It might be that simple. It's like, you are prettier than the person I'm currently with. I'll be with you instead. That's very That's how apes behave, right?
Yeah, and what are we really? What are we apes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, completely. I mean, we've had, you know, we've just literally, in the whole story of evolution, we've just literally jumped off the tree yesterday.
Yeah.
So we act like apes, and the truth is like
vampire,
as opposed to our long-term value of the relationship, for sure.
All right. So Doc, there's one other thing. Leanne kind of hinted at this, but these people who do change the rules and they have like open relationships. Now, I'm a very tolerant and open-minded person, but the reality is I don't think that could ever work. And I'm sure they're going to be some people in the comments section, or there'll be some people who will hear about this and say, oh, no, I've had a very successful open relationship for 20 years. And it's me and my partner, we understand each other, like we read each other like a book. Everything is perfect and communication is key and all that stuff. I don't know that it's possible for humans to be non-monogamous. I mean, we say monogamy is maybe not the natural setting, and you can look at other animals and you find many of them who are polygamous, either the females or the male of the species are polygamous. I don't know that in modern society with humans, this can work. I don't know that people can share. I don't believe in the ability of people to not become attached, to not let their feelings get in the way, to not get jealous.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things about that. First of all, the divorce rate is sky high. So yeah. I don't know, we're talking maybe even higher than 50%. So monogamous relationships are mostly bound to fail, but it doesn't mean that it's a bad option. As a matter of fact, I think it's the best out of all the bad options that we have. But have we figured out the best makeup of what a committed relationship looks like? Maybe, maybe not. But the human brain likes stability and consistency. So to your point, I believe that being in a monogamous, committed relationship is probably the healthiest out of all the alternatives that we have. Relationships are tough. Even between one other person, between two people, it's really, really hard. There's so many moving parts, and you have to negotiate many rules as they keep on changing and as the personalities change in the game. Now you bring in more people, you're just complicating the game. So imagine I play Monopoly with you, and then I say, listen, at the same time, we're going to play Monopoly and Uno. And at the same time, we'll play checkers. And at the same time, we'll play chess.
Yeah.
Can it work? Maybe, but it's really complicated. Does it have value? If it works, yes, but it's really complicated. It's not to say it's a bad option, but it's to say it's a really complicated option. And most people just do not get it right. So I say simplify your life, create consistency, create stability, create honesty, create a simple game that you can enjoy with a person or with people in your world that has longevity. Don't complicate your life.
Another thing that I think is also important is that people do change along the way. So, and this doesn't necessarily have any bearing on cheating, but you have to adapt. Maybe the relationship starts off and it's purely physical and you're really into each other and it's amazing and it's exciting and it's all those things, but it has to evolve into something different. And some of the best examples I've seen of people that I know who are in happy, committed relationships are people who have become really good friends. They're honest with each other. They share everything. They can make the best out of a bad situation. They also know each other's strengths and weaknesses. And it's almost like an alliance. It's not really you can't even call it a friendship, because friendship, we all know those come and go as well. But an alliance, it's like a long-term alliance. Like, I've got your back, you got mine. We're in this together. We're going to make sure that we make a life together that means something. We're going to have kids or not, whatever we decide to do, but we're going to stick with each other and we're going to make it work. And when you are down, I'll help you. When I'm down, you'll help me, and so on. I mean, am I being a little bit rose-tinted about this?
I was going to say, that's the most romantic thing you've ever said.
I've seen this with people. And Doc, I mean, I'm a very cynical son of a bitch, but honestly, like, I see that and I see those people and it works and it seems to have longevity.
Yeah, look, I mean, you're raising a really, really cool point, which is we human beings, we change all the time. Think about yourself, Gareth. Are you the same person that you were 5 years ago? No. Of course not. We change and shift. we grow, we mature in some areas, we become more immature in other areas.
Yeah.
Our needs, our wants change. And the truth is you'll be different in 5 years' time.
Right.
And that transition is completely natural and normal. And if you're in a relationship, your partner goes through the same transition. And the dance has to adapt. So the whole term about alliance, we're in this together and we're going to adapt to this game together. We're going to dance it out. And today we're dancing in a particular way. And maybe tomorrow we'll dance in a different way. But it's always through negotiation. The best relationships that I've seen are not the ones that are stuck with the old rule set, but they adapt to the relationship as the relationship progresses and moves forward.
Yeah, don't think of yourself as like J-Lo and Ben Affleck. Think of yourself as Austria-Hungary and Prussia.
Okay, now we're back to the unromantic.
it's a thoroughly practical consideration. And you talk about like when someone's cheated on you, you have to be strategic about how you react. Also, you have to look at the balance sheet and go, can I really afford to kick up a fuss right now? Or shall I wait a while? You know, you got to choose your timing.
Definitely, 100%, because there could be financial implications. You could have kids. You could have career implications. You could have family implications. You know, I've got a patient that lives overseas. They have a terrible marriage, but the woman cannot leave. She cannot leave because if she leaves, that means she loses her kids because now she has to come back to South Africa. There are many. It's not just clean and black and white. Just do this. Just be stoic about it. You have to be strategic for sure.
All right. Well, there's some good advice for a Monday morning. And if someone is cheating on you, you didn't necessarily deserve it.
Yeah, you may have.
Thanks, Leanne. We're really here to make people feel better this morning, aren't we? No, I think that what you've said is really, really helpful. Be strategic. Think it through. Don't react out of emotion and feelings and passion, because obviously you are just overwhelmed by anger and by the fact that you feel less than and you feel like you've been like everything's about betrayal in that moment. And the really smart thing to do, I suppose, is to just kind of take stock, sit there quietly and plot your way out of it.
Yeah. And it's okay to lean on somebody that will calibrate you. It's okay to lean on a trusted friend that will balance you out, or a trusted confidant or a mentor that will just guide you and show you the roadmap and how to get from point A to point B.
And just one last thing, don't pick sides if you're friends with both of them, because they will end up back together at some point, and then you are the asshole. So don't pick sides.
Yeah,
don't
completely.
Go around saying, I always knew he was a cheater.
Always
he's
hated
so terrible.
Him.
I always hated him. And then 5 days later, they're back together, and you're like,
yeah.
Bad, right? All right, Doc, thank you. Always good to see you. Have a good week.
Guys. Nice to see you. You too. Bye, guys.
Lovely. Dr. Hanan Bushkin, fucking fantastic.
It is.
Yep, it is.
And if someone isn't fucking you because they're fucking someone else and it's not so fantastic anymore, you've got some advice. Hey, there we go. Useful stuff for a Monday morning. The same way you can't serve two masters, says Judas. By the way, that's a great name. She spells it J-U-D-I-C-E, but you pronounce it the same as the one who betrayed Christ. And since we're talking about betrayal, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You can't service two women or two men at the same time. You will always like one better than the other. Correct. And then that other one's going to feel bad.
Mm.
Not nice. And also, it's horrible. Like, no, everyone knows, and everyone has cheated in some way, shape, or form at some point in their life. I did it well into my early 20s.
Mm.
And I did it once, and I cheated on this girl, and I felt so shitty about things that I swore there and then I would never do it again. And I've pretty much stuck to it because it made me feel bad.
Mm.
I was like, I don't like this. I don't want to feel this way. So I've never done it again.
Yeah.
For now.
For now. You never know right,
we'll
what's
see.
Around the corner.
Yeah, you never know. All right, there we go. Very good. And we will be back in just a moment, 7 o'clock. And this is The Real Network, the Gareth Cliff Show. Stick around for a whole lot more. Leanne Moles with me this morning. And most especially, you are. Join us in the comments section. Like and subscribe, etc., etc., etc. Back in a minute.